The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Shavuos Daf Mem Gimel. We've been discussing the last few dafim the different dinim of Shavuos and collecting chayvis, the dinim Maidu B'miktsas, where a person is owed money and part of the claim is admitted on the part of the loiva, and there the halacha is that the loiva, since he's a maid of a mitzvah, is mechuyev v'shvu on the rest. Let's discuss a practical case of maid of a mitzvah from a different angle. Reuven paid Shimon, they had an agreement, Reuven paid Shimon a certain amount of money to watch, to leave in, not to leave in storage, but to watch, to safeguard some boxes of valuables or antiques that he gave him for, he's going away, let's say for a few months, and he asked him for a period of 2 or 3 months to keep a certain amount of a few suitcases with some boxes to keep by him and to watch them, and he's paying him a certain amount a week. So he's a shemis socher. As we know, if somebody's paid for watching something and he accepts responsibility, then he has balach of Hashem v'socher b'chayv on gneva v'aved. Now, a month later, unfortunately, the person who was doing the watching, the Hashem v'socher's apartment was broken into, and amongst other things, the suitcases and boxes were taken. The mafkid, the person who gave the owner of the apartment the boxes and the suitcases, came back a few months later. Where's my stuff? It was stolen. Okay, what do we do now? The problem starts with the fact that the mafkid says, you don't know what was in those suitcases. And he starts giving him a whole list of things. He had all his valuables. He had valuable gold pieces, plus the boxes that when he schlepped them in, he said, they're boxes of svarim, they're old svarim that I have. All of a sudden, the mafkid told the nifka, the shemisacher, that one of the svarim was a first print of a certain very rare sefer, which was worth $10,000. And this was his collection. One of them was a sefer that was signed by one of the Gedolei Hador of 250 years ago. One of them was a rare out of print sefer that was only printed once in the 1600s, and that was worth a few thousand dollars. And he starts giving him a whole list of everything that was stolen, and by the time he gets finished, there's about $75,000 worth of possessions in the two suitcases and the boxes that he thought was some old stuff and maybe a few pieces of jewelry. So what do we do? How far could the mafkid's claim take him? Obviously the nifkad has no way of defending himself. Now, if we think about it, really what we have in front of us is a Maid of a Mikzas. On the one hand, the Nifkad is saying, look, I know I owe you something, right? I figure there's $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is, worth of stuff in the suitcase. They're pretty heavy, right? It's not diamond rings. It's something heavy. Maybe there was a few pieces of silver there, that silver candlesticks, which are valuable, but they're not so valuable. And there were some old books I knew. I didn't realize what was here. But the truth of the matter is, why am I mechuyev to accept your claim? If I thought there were only $2,000 or $3,000 worth of valuables here, you're claiming there's $75,000 worth of valuables. On the one hand, I'm a moed b'miktsas. I admit to partial guilt. I admit that I owe $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever it is, amount of dollars. But I don't know. Who says I owe you that amount of money? But I'm a loyadana. The halacha is that a moed b'miktsas, since he admitted to claim on part of the claim that was admitted by the mafkid, on the rest he cannot swear because he doesn't know what he's swearing to. So the halacha is that he would be mechuyev, the whole thing. Chamshin yadana, chamshin lo yadana. The halacha is that if he can't make a shvur, mitoich shem yochel l'shavim mishalim, he'd be mechuyev to pay up the full amount of the claim. The same way, in the classic case of the Gemara, if a person said, I borrowed 50, and the other 50 that you're claiming that I owe you $100, 50 I owe you. The other 50, I don't know, I don't remember. The halacha is he's mechuyev to pay the other 50. So, l'chayr, the nifka would be mechuyev to pay the full amount of the claim submitted by the mafkid. On the other hand, the mafkid could say whatever he wants. Once he sees a Pesach, and he knows a little bit halacha, he could claim that it was $2 million worth of antiques. Who would stop him? So obviously there has to be some type of gvul over here to what would be considered a legitimate claim on the part of the mafkid. Now, as far as the etzem psak halach of this being a moedim miktsas, this is also not so poshut. The Rambam, in bringing down this halacha, this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Simur Reish Tzadik Ches, when the Rambam paskins this halacha that a nifka that says that I owe you this amount, but I don't know how much was in the pekodin that you gave me, so that he's a moedim miktsas v'chayiv l'shalim, the Ravid is massive. The Ravid says that the din of chamshin yodana, chamshin lo yodana, that he's mechuyiv to pay, is only when there's reasonable doubt that what he's really doing is he's just avoiding owning up to the claim that was lodged against him. When a person says, $100, I owe you. $100, I don't remember. That itself is enough grounds for suspicion that he owes the money. If he's not willing to make a shmur on it, then we will be mechayvim unless he brings evidence that he doesn't owe the money. However, by pekodin, it's quite reasonable that a person didn't know what was in the pekodin. If a person didn't know what was in the pekodin, there's no reason to assume he's a liar. It sounds like an honest person. I really don't know what was in the suitcase. It's quite reasonable. I didn't open up your possessions to see what was there. How would I know? In that case, the Ravid says there is no din of moedim miktsas emeni roitzel l'shava yishalim. The Rambam, as we said, disagrees, and Malacha is like the Rambam, that every case of moedim miktsas is chayiv, even where there is no reasonable doubts of suspicion. Since you're a mechuyiv shvur, then you're l'shava, the halacha is that he's mechuyiv to pay. However, like we said, there has to be some type of gvul to what the mafkid would be able to reasonably claim. So here we meet up with a din that's called takonas hanoitlin of a nizik or a nigzal. The halacha is, the Gemara discusses this in Bava Kama Daf Medvav as well as other places, that if somebody damage was inflicted on somebody's shor went into somebody else's rishus and caused a certain amount of damage, or more practically speaking, somebody drove his car into somebody else's backyard and smashed up a certain amount of things over there, and it's not clear what the scope of the claim is against the mazik. Or the same thing would be true by a gazlan. We saw a gazlan go into somebody's house, a thief climbed through somebody's window, cleaned out a certain amount of things, Bezdin caught him, they brought him in, they ate him, that he went in and he came out with a bag full of stuff. The nigzal has the right, or the nizik in the first case, has a right to submit a claim to Bezdin of what he feels that the things that were taken or damaged are worth, and the halacha is he'll back up his claim with a shvur, and he'll be able to collect that much, which is a chiddush. Midereisa, shvurs are only shvurs haniftar. But in certain cases, as we'll see in the next parak, chazal were mesakin, elush nishborin v'noitlin, and a victim who was wronged, either things were stolen from him, or he's a nizik, and his property was damaged. The halacha is, the chazal were mesakin, that since there's obviously no way the gazlan would be able to tell you how much it's worth, because he just walked out with the stuff, and he got rid of the stolen goods as soon as he was able to, or in the case of somebody drove a car into somebody else's property, it's even more clear, he doesn't know what was there, obviously. The halacha is, the chazal gave the right of way to the nizik, or to the nigzal, to be able to present a claim and back it up with a shvua in order to authenticate that which he claims was damaged or stolen. The Rishonim, in bringing this halacha of the pekodin, where the nifka, the shomer, does not know how much was given to him for trust keeping, for safekeeping, and the mafkid lodges a claim in Bezdin that kach v'kach was the value of the pekodin, the Rishonim brings, b'shem the Rimagash, who brings the Yerushalmi, and our sugya, daf mem gimel, that the same way they were misakin, shvuas hanoitlin for a victim of a theft, or a victim of a maisa ezik, they were also misakin, shvuas hanoitlin for a mafkid, whose item was lost, and the nifkad is found responsible to pay back the losses. It's a chiddush, because it could be the chazal only defended with this chiddush, with this takona, somebody who was on the receiving end of an actual hezek or a gzela, even though not every hezek is the fault of the person who did it, the halacha is lamaisa, he did cause hezek, so the halacha is that the victim will have a right to lodge a claim and back it up with a shvua. But it could be, theoretically, that a mafka would not have that schus. The maisa is not a victim. It just happened to have been. This thing was taken, and the nifka is responsible. The nifka didn't do anything wrong. But the maisa, the Yerushalmi says, and this is the halacha that we mentioned before, that there will be sakin shvus hanaitun even for a nifka. Again, we go back to our claim. Bismanazeh, if it was in the times of Chazal when a shvu was instituted, so you could safely assume that since a person bederech halal doesn't make a shvu shekah, that he's not going to claim that what was taken from him was $2 million worth of pekodim, of valuables, because he made a shvu. If he made a shvu, Mustami is telling the truth. But bismanazeh that we do not administer in bezna shvu. And obviously, a sizable amount of the claim will be chopped off because there's nothing there to authenticate it. But a certain amount, Bezdin will award to the mafkid, to the one who's lodging the claim. The shaila is how much is reasonable for him to claim. Obviously, to claim $2 million, we can't award that. It doesn't sound right, and the Rishonim point down this halacha that it has to be something reasonable. The question is, what exactly does reasonable mean? The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch Reish Tzadiches that we quoted above is dover sheheim amudim bo. It has to be something that's reasonable, that seems reasonable to the Beis Din that this person would have. If we have somebody who's just a regular person on the street, and he comes in with a box of svarim, with a box of old svarim, and he puts it down by somebody who accepts achrayis, and then he comes back and he claims that this is a first print of that sefer, and this is a autographed copy of that sefer from the Gadol Hador, and etc., etc., and he goes, the claims don't make sense. If the person is an antique svarim dealer, or he's a person who's wealthy, who enjoys things of a finer quality, and he's the type of person who quite reasonably might own such svarim, then the Beis Din will recognize his claim as legitimate, and will deal with it as such. So the Beis Din will very much have to use their sense of smell as to what's reasonable and what's not reasonable. Again, the same thing is by valuables. Valuables that make sense for that person to have. A regular person does not have in his suitcase or in his jewelry case, in his wife's jewelry case that is, a $75,000 necklace. However, if somebody is a very wealthy businessman, maybe that's something he bought his wife for their 30th anniversary or whatever the case may be. So, Beis Din will very much have to use a sense of smell, some detective work, to figure out what makes sense in terms of the legitimacy of the claim. There's another point that might be mentioned, and this is an interesting discussion that the Ktzois has in Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, where the Ktzois brings a Mordechai that speaks about somebody who was given a sword for safekeeping, another Yid. Now what would a Yid be doing with a sword? The basic assumption is that, and that's what it sounds like from the Mordechai, that since many Jews were money lenders in the times of the Rishonim, in medieval times, so he took as a pikodoid, as a mashkin, from the nobleman who he lent money to, he took a sword. Person was the fellow who borrowed money from him was a goyish landowner. He was a knight, sir, whatever his name was, and he gave him a sword for safekeeping, but as a mashkin against his choiv. And the yid had to go out of town for a few days, so he gave this sword to somebody else, to another yid with a kabbal zachrayis. He paid him to watch it. It was stolen from him, so the Mordechai, in bringing this case, says that the mafkid who gave the sword to his friend, when he came back and he claimed the sword and the sword was stolen, said that the sword was an antique sword that was passed down the family of this knight and it's worth a lot of money. And the Nifkat says, how was I to know? I was never mekabel shmira on an item that's worth that much money. I never accepted responsibility on myself to the tune of that much money. The Mordechai compares this to a case which is mefurish in the Gemara, where somebody gave somebody else a pekodin of dinrei kesef, which are worth considerably less than dinrei zov. It so happens to be that the mafkid came back and it was lost, it was stolen, whatever the case may be, and the mafkid brought evidence that they were not dinrei kesef, they were dinrei kesef only on the surface. It was kesef that coated dinrei zahav. They were worth about 25 times the amount that the nifkar who was watching it thought that they were worth. And over there the halacha is that he's potter, because I was never mekabel shmir, the Shemir says, except on dinrei kesef, not on dinrei zahav. The Mordechai understands the same is true by the sword. The Ktzos, however, upholds and paskins like the opinion of the Yamshel Shlomo, the Mashal, who writes that Dinrei Kesef and Dinrei Zahav, since this is what it appears to be, it's reasonable for the Shlomo to consider himself only achroi, only responsible for the value of the Dinrei Kesef. It's not, he does not have to assume that there are Dinrei Zahav there. Therefore, his Kabbalah Shmira only places on him the amount of responsibility of dinrei kesef, not dinrei zahav. However, in a sword, it's quite possible that a sword is an antique sword. Not every sword is like that, and most swords are not that way. But there are certain swords that are not. You have no reason to assume, or no right to assume, what the value of the item was. You didn't price it. It wasn't covered over by something. So the Ktzos upholds the opinion of the Yamshel Shlomo, and therefore he paskins that in that case you'll be chayiv whatever the value of the items is. So again, if we're talking about old svarim, I bring to somebody a box of old svarim. They're old svarim. I tell them these are svarim I yashim from my great grandfather. It's quite possible that a sefer that's 100 years old is a first print of that sefer. It was given for a present from one rav to another rav, and it was signed, hand signed by a rav who later on became one of the Gdolei Hador, in which case it's worth a lot of money, and so on and so forth. That's reasonable. But if I give him a box of svarim, and I say, okay, it's just some svarim, you know, I'm painting my house, and for a week my stuff is in transit, do me a favor, can you just watch some boxes? And it turns out that instead of just the collection of svarim that I use, it's antique svarim that are worth $100,000, that would be more bedoyma to dinrei kesef and dinrei zahav. Again, whatever is reasonable, or whatever makes sense to be the value of something, and the Shomer takes the liberty of assuming that it's worth much less, the Ktzoy says that the Shomer will be mechuyev even for the amount that the mafkid claims it's worth. However, if it's something which is misleading, the Ktzoy says, we could say safely that the reasonable Kabbalah Shmir was only on the lesser amount that the Nifkid claims it's worth, and not on the amount that the mafkid says it's worth, there the claim of the mafkid will not be accepted. And we will say that the Kabbalah Shmira was not on that much. Now, again, getting back to what we discussed before, if there was a Shvuah here, so theoretically we could believe him even if something was far-fetched. But the feed way we're saying over this halacha from the Tzais, it's not so. Since we say that the Kabbalah Shmira of the box of Svarim, let's say, was only on a box of Svarim which is worth $100, and not on a box of Svarim which is worth $50,000, because they're antiques, so it doesn't make a difference if the Mafkid would back himself up with the Shvuah. Even if we believe the Shvuah, Soif Kol Soif, the Nifkad was only responsible for that amount of money. The Kabbalah Shmir was only within reason of what we of what it looks like to be worth, or what could be reasonably assumed, even if you stretch it, that the box of svarim is worth. Therefore, the nifkid cannot be chayiv more than the reasonable amount of svarim, even if he made a shvuah. Bizmana said that we don't have a shvuah. We don't even need this halacha, because the only claim that the Bezdin will recognize is a claim which is legitimate. If he says something which is far fetched, there the claim will anyways not be accepted. So in summary, despite the fact that a pekodin, where the nifkad agrees that there was a certain amount of negligence or a certain amount of responsibility and he owes something, but he doesn't know how much, despite the fact that that is considered a moed b'miktzas, and the nifkad will in fact be mechuyev to the mafkid, the halacha is, in order for the mafkid to claim the amount that he claims is owed to him, he will have to back that up with a shvuas hanoitlin, which Chazal instituted for anybody who is on the receiving end of damages, including a nifkad, as we said from the Yerushalmi, in which case I'll have to make a shvuah. As we pointed out, the shvuah will only, even if he's neman on a shvuah, because we assume that a person not making a shvuah is sheker, the shvuah can only be mechayiv the shomer to the sum of what would be considered legitimately within the confines of his Kabbalah Shmira. If we could safely say that he was not Mekabel Shmira on amount X, even if the shomer made a shvuah to it, it could be that that's how much the box was worth, but that's not how much the shomer accepted responsibility upon himself. He's not Mechuyiv to more than his Kabbalah Shmira. If there is a reasonable amount of doubt, and the shomer had no right to assume that the box of Svarim was worth only $100, theoretically the Svarim could be worth $10,000, and his Kabbalah Shmir would then be considered, as the Ktzoy says, to include the full amount of $10,000, there we would need, however, we're not mechuyev to believe the mafkid on his full claim. Therefore, the mafkid will only be able to claim with the shvuah bizman hazeh. Liberties will have to be taken with the amount that he's claiming because the shvuah is not instituted. So therefore, there will be some type of pshar in this case, but the bezna will consider that the legitimate claim is the amount that the mafkid claims. Again, as long as it's within reason, and it's like the Shulchan Aruch says, amud, that this person would have an item worth that amount of money.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.